This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney posts up in the bleachers.
You're all curved. All of you.
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
First of all, too many penalties. Way too many penalties. The penalties on offense are the one thing that is holding us back. It shows up in different ways. So holding penalties on run plays, yeah, color separation, it's getting called. And we're probably the best get back on track offense in the league right now, overcoming those things. But we shouldn't have to overcome them. When you play a defense like we played, or you play in a game like we were playing in, sometimes it becomes too high a mountain to scale. Yeah, it's across the board, it's everything. I mean, the buck stops here, it stops with me. It's my job to make sure that we're doing the things that we gotta do. And we've, from a coaching standpoint, from a drill standpoint, from an emphasis standpoint, technique standpoint, and making sure guys understand that, you know, it's not okay. It's not acceptable. We've all got to be intentional about getting it stopped, and my job to make sure that everybody's focused on it.
Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster today, still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Turn It Up Total Request Thursday, I should say. Send in your favorite songs to the text line. Quick Draw will handle it from there. Also, send in your request for Featured Artist Friday. We'll announce that winner on the back end of the show. And in the open, you heard head coach John Harbaugh there talking about the penalties, which has been a huge issue for the Ravens. It was a big part of their loss Sunday against Pittsburgh. You look at it, the Ravens lead the league in penalties right now, which is kind of uncharted territory for this team. And I feel like that's just a part of the long list of things that are happening with this team this year that we're not accustomed to seeing. But Harbs, you hear him there in the open, taking responsibility, saying, you know, the buck stops with him, and he's right. But Vinny, we're going into, what is this, week 12 now? And what's changed? I mean, this is kind of who they are. We're almost at Thanksgiving. Teams aren't necessarily changing their stripes at this point of the year. It's, you're improving, yes, you're hoping to, but you kind of are who you are. Is there any reason to believe that all of a sudden these penalties will just poof, disappear?
Well, when you look at, I mean, a lot of them are just lazy penalties is what, you know, like with an old lineman with a hold, all right? When the guy gets is like going, like, say I'm supposed to be blocking inside or whatever, so I got my hands in here, and then the ball bounces out, and then I still, you know, hold him. Mm-hmm. And that's the easiest hold to see as a referee, because, you know, you see that guy jerk back. Just let go. Just let go. It's all about fundamentals. That's the thing. And how many penalties do they get? And I think, Cordell, like the down-the-field ones and stuff, I think a lot of that is Lamar, you know, because he'll hold the ball longer, he'll double pump it, you know, and so they'll get down the field. Because like on a screen pass, you know, it's all about timing, mm-hmm. you know, and then like on the one the other day against Pittsburgh, he had to double pump, and then guy got right. down the field.
Right.
So, I mean, some of those type penalty, I mean, some of them, you know, kind of silly penalties. The and even Harb said it, the kick return penalties.
Oh, that was a terrible.
But you know what's crazy, Cordell, is like when the referees were out there training camp that time, I asked, because I know the white hat guy real good. So I asked him, I says, what do you think of this new rule? And he said, penalty waiting to happen. He said, you could call hold on every one of them. And, you know, the Ravens have what, four returns and two penalties. And then you get the ball back on the 19-yard line. And then, you know, you want to know what's wrong with the offense. You're starting in a hole all the time. And then lining up wrong as a receiver is a cardinal sin. I mean, I was a receiver in college. I mean, when you break the huddle and you're the X receiver, which means you're on the line of scrimmage, you go out to the referee and say, am I good? And he'll give you a thumbs up, or, you know. So cannot have those types of penalties. Defensively, what defensive penalties did they have, Cordell? I can't recall a ton of.
Well, I don't know if they had it on Sunday. I don't recall them having it on Sunday, but they have. I mean, you think of Matt Abike, he's had his fair share of like
hitting the quarterback.
Yeah, roughing the passer penalties, whether it's hitting the face mask, whether it's leading with the helmet, whatever it is. It just seems like every other week he's got one of those.
Yeah. You know, the only thing with those types of penalties, Cordell, I don't know if I'm getting on him. I mean, it's not like he's trying, you know, I mean, he just. Like when he's coming down with his arm or whatever, he doesn't know that the quarterback's head is right there. I mean, to me, it's the offensive penalties.
Yeah,
The biggest reason is first and 20, first and 15. You know, it's hard to overcome that time after time, especially against a good defense. So I don't, but the difference, you got Jim Harbaugh, who's one of the least penalized teams in the league, and you got John Harbaugh, who's the most penalized team in the league. So yeah, it's about discipline. And John said it, fundamentals. You know, anything to do with the O-line and holding, usually it's hands. Hands are outside instead of inside. Just keep your hands in tight. And you know what? If they get away, you got to let go. Period.
Chargers are averaging around 5 penalties a game. The Ravens close to 8.5 penalties a game. But what's alarming is if you look at their last three games, the Ravens are averaging almost 10 penalties a game. That's a killer. That's a killer. And we talk about them playing division opponents over these last three and going ahead, looking at this Chargers game. That's going to be a tough game to win on the road. We know what's going to be talked about with it being the Harbaugh Bowl and all that. But besides that, you've got two teams right now that are fighting for playoff spots. And the longer this goes on and the more the Steelers continue to roll. And of course, they're playing tonight out in Cleveland. We'll see what they do. But if Pittsburgh is going to continue to roll, this division is going to look tougher. The Ravens picking up another division loss, their second division loss on Sunday against Pittsburgh, and yet another AFC loss. It's about time for these guys to kind of hit their stride. And they've got the late bye. Week 14 bye sucks for everybody. It's a lot of good teams that have a week 14 bye this year. I think that's just terrible in itself. But all in all, they have to go across the country now and show that they can be a disciplined football team.
Well, the thing is, going across the country for a Monday night game's not an issue because you've got the extra time. I mean, the one that's got the tough deal is Pittsburgh. I mean, if I'm Cleveland, I'm happy. You know, Pittsburgh just had a high emotional game, very physical game, got guys beat up, and then you got to play in 3 days. So at least the Ravens, they get the extra day. Now, next week, Cordell, when Philly, the only good thing is Philly's at the Rams on Sunday night. So they're at the, you know, back-to-back. That stadium has Sunday night game and Monday night game. So, you know, it's going to be a shorter week for the Ravens. But that being said, the Chargers, you know, I mean, they're playing better. They won a game. Well, I should say the Bengals lost another game like they usually lose games.
Yeah, I thought obviously it was a tale of two halves for the Chargers on, what was that, Monday night?
That's how the Bengals
Sunday
play.
Sunday night.
That's what the Bengals do.
Yeah.
I mean, because what, at the half, Cordell was 24-6. And it was kind of pretty much domination. Then the second half, Cincy scored every time they had the ball. And then they would have won.
Their issues right now, they got the highest paid kicker.
Who we you're talking about? Oh, Cincinnati. Yeah, and they, I mean, they're and going through kicker issues themselves.
Yeah, and he missed two field goals in the fourth quarter when, you know, you're talking about momentum and everything.
Well, this was a terrible week for kickers in general all across the league. It was a lot of missed field goals across the league this week. But yeah, I mean, Cincinnati, they're a tough team to kind of put your finger on. I still think, and maybe this is just me buying into how good they can be offensively, that they can somewhat find a way to hit their stride. They got some meaningful games still left on their schedule against potential wild card teams like Denver. So I still think there's an outside shot. Now, granted, they can't lose another game. They can't lose.
And Cordell, they've got they have bye this week.
They've got Pittsburgh twice.
And then they got Pittsburgh at home and Cleveland. I mean, when you look at their schedule and kind of how it falls,
it's going to be tough.
They could. No, they could.
I think the two games against Pittsburgh is going to beat them twice. That's going to be tough.
Well, here's the thing I was thinking is the last time they play is the last game of the season.
True.
Pittsburgh may not need
it.
So, you know, kind of similar to the Ravens type situation. And they got Denver at home. And
the jury's still out on them.
Yeah. I hear you. So, I mean, they got a chance. And their defense played much better against the Chargers. Second half, they did. The thing that if you watch that game, and I just watched the film, there's no way in hell that you think Greg Roman's calling plays. No way.
They throw it every down.
They're throwing it. I think Mark Trestman's got a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I mean they talk Justin. I mean Justin Herbert is a big time talent.
Yep.
And granted, they don't have a lot of the weapons that they're accustomed to having in years past. So it is kind of head scratching to see that offense move the way it does. But I think the way you do know it's a Greg Roman led offense is they fizzle out after a while, and I think you saw that in the Charger game in the second half, in the Bengals game in the second half, that offense, they can get out hot, and then out of nowhere, the bottom will drop out, and you won't hear from them until, in that game at least, until they needed to put up points. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll keep it going with the Ravens talk. Justin Tucker, he's been a big talk of emphasis out here in Baltimore, struggling this season with the field goals. We got to talk to Justin Tucker yesterday. We'll hear what he had to say, and we'll talk about what he needs to do to fix his issues next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
See you on the Fan. Ravens kicker Justin Tucker there talking about how he's dealing with these missed kicks. And, you know, he's talking about nobody takes it as hard as him. And I believe that. I mean, he's a prideful guy. He's had so much success in his career. And that's kind of prompted me to ask the question of, you know, when you've had so much success and now you're going through this spell of, you know, failures and how do you deal with the realization of what the situation is right now? And, you know, that was a part of what he said right there. And he also went on to say, you know, his job pretty much forces him to move on fast, to compartmentalize his feelings.
Just like a hitter.
Moving
same
on.
Type
yeah,
thing.
Same thing. You got to just move on to the next kick. So he said that's the challenge he faces right now. But how concerned are you with Tucker? I mean, we saw him go through this spell earlier. He kind of got out of it until we're now dealing with it again.
Now we're back in it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that bothered me a little bit when I heard him Sunday night after the game. You know, he said, for the third one, I changed my aiming point. Okay. Well, why not after the first one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you missed that one left, and then you missed the second one left, then you decide to change the aiming point. And then I don't like the fact that I'm starting to complain about the field, where he'd never missed one in Pittsburgh before. So the field's always probably been kind of crappy at
times.
And
Boswell had no problem.
Yeah, he was 6 feet. Yeah, that's even a better point. So, and like when they asked Harves about, you know, you're going to replace him? You know, there's nobody to replace him with, you know, right now. It wasn't like, what are you talking? Why would you even ask that?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Which 2 years ago, that'd be Harves would've the dumbest question ever.
Yeah. Well, yes. The thing that, if Justin Tucker is getting interviewed a lot after the games and during the week, it's usually that he hit a 60-some yarder, or lately, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to defend himself. So, I think it's like all fine and dandy at practice. Then it's the game. Mm-hmm. Same like in warm-ups. Oh, how's he look? Looks good today. All right, but then, you know, what you need is, like, hopefully they get a touchdown first and he's kicking a P. But it doesn't seem like that matters, because, like, he'll drill the PATs and then the field goals are a different deal. So I don't know. I mean, Cordell, I coached the kickers at Notre Dame, and I had Craig Hendrick, and I knew nothing about kicking. You know, and Craig was All-American punter and kicker, and he went to Houston and then to Tennessee in the pros. So whenever Henny'd have an issue, we'd go out to practice, you know, and I'd say, Henny, you know, like we do our kicking stuff. I said, Henny, you go in and you watch the film, figure it out, and then come back, tell me what you were doing wrong. I mean, you know better. Like, I don't know how to watch film on a kicker. I don't know about the footwork and the steps and all that. I mean, it's like a golfer probably type thing. And I wouldn't know how to correct that either. But, I mean, unless you're, you know, like those kickers, they're pros because they watch every little thing. And same, Randy Brown, probably same type thing, the kicking coach for the Ravens. So I'm sure they've been studying it and watching it, and we'll see. I mean, it's, as it gets colder, it doesn't get easier.
Right. Yeah.
But going to L.A., that'll help. And then they come home. Yeah, then they come home.
So, and I think everybody has been trying to figure out what's going on with Tucker, so they're checking every box. So, of course, that puts Jordan Stout under the microscope a little bit, because people are asking the question of, you know, is it something going on with the hold? I've had so many people hit me up on X talking about, well, Stout's head is over the ball, and Tucker's trying to overcompensate to avoid his head or something like that. And so I asked John on Monday if he thought something was going on with the hold. He kind of downplayed it. Tucker was asked. I think I asked him, or maybe it was somebody else yesterday, asked him if anything was up with the hold. And
one of the snaps wasn't great, and I thought Stout made a nice hold.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was either the first one or the second miss.
Yeah, but I mean, to this point, Tucker or Harbs have, now maybe we need to go try to talk to Stout or something, but to this point, nobody has indicated that it's anything other than the actual kick.
And is there any way that you can put pressure on him in practice? You know what Lou Holtz used to do in practice? You know, he would stand when we'd be doing the practice field goal kicks in practice, he'd stand right there, right next to him, you know? And I remember Reggie Ho, our kicker, one time, he comes up to coach. He said, Coach, I can't kick with you watching me like that. And typical Lou. Lou goes, Reggie, I do plan on being at every game.
Right. Right. You know what's funny? The Ravens do have like a skinnier
goalpost.
Yeah. That may be where he needs to kick at from now on, especially with it going so wide.
Uh-huh.
That maybe needs to be where he's practicing a little bit. Now, they do have, I think they have some stuff over there, so they may have to kind of move their practice stations around a little bit to make that work. But at this is kind of probably the time of year that you have that skinnier goalpost for us for times like this where you need your kicker to kick it right down the middle. Nolan, where are you or your panic meter of Justin Tucker these days?
I flip-flop back and forth on this, and maybe it's the immediate reaction when you're seeing two missed kicks to open up the first quarter on Sunday, and you're sitting there watching it, and you're saying, man, they've got to do something. They got to bring somebody in, just even if it's to create a spark. I know you're saying, hey, the guys that are available out there on the open market, they're available for a reason. They're not with a team for a reason, but it feels so futile to sit back and watch him continue to do this and not make any sort of active changes. At the end of the day, yes, he's more qualified than anyone else in that building to fix his own issues. But if he keeps missing, that's going to cost you your season. Mm-hmm. And I just would hate for the Ravens to be in a position in the playoffs or late in the season where Tucker's going out there for borderline 50-yard kick or, heck, even over 45 yards at this point. And everyone in the stadium's thinking, I don't think he's going to make this.
Yeah, I think it's so unique because it's not like this is your every other year kicker where, oh, they're in a struggle, let's go get a new one. Like, this is the dude that we have been calling the greatest kicker of all time for quite some time now, and he's going through the slump. I just think it's a problem because there's nothing in the handbook that tells you how to deal with this. Like, if you do bring in some kickers this week, a lot of people, despite how concerned they are about Tucker, may still say, this is Justin Tucker we're talking about. Like, are we not overreacting a little bit here? And then obviously there will be some on the other side that's like, it's time, because you got it. Better too early than too late, I guess, to Nolan's point of it costing you your season.
Well, it was a big cause of losing
for sure,
Pittsburgh.
For sure.
You know, and
among other things, but definitely one of the top reasons.
Yeah, I mean, the three turnovers don't help, but the momentum change,
no doubt,
if you do make those kicks. And then that last drive, you don't need to go for two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of that, Cordell, where were you on the two-point play?
Terrible. I don't like, first of all, it was a lot to not like about the play. The play was dead before the ball even snapped. I feel like with Nelly and Likely going back and forth, they're pointing. I feel like they almost gave the play away, to be honest with you. I feel like they kind of gave the play away to the play side. But I, number one, don't like any two-point plays or any red zone plays where you cut off half the field. That's number one. I can't stand it. Number two, when you have guys like Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, I don't like when you take one of those guys out of the equation. They should both be a part of the play. So I just thought they doomed themselves. And when you're going up against a defense like Pittsburgh, they're too good of a defense for you to help them out. I just felt like everything with that play call benefited the Steelers.
Yeah, and Cordell, they had just made one the week before. All right. And it was with Henry in there, and it was the read.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is on that play, watching it, Henry would have hit his head on the goalpost, and Lamar, they both would have scored. So sometimes you kind of get too cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, they're going to know we're going to run that. All right. But you know what my thing would be? My thing would be, what does Philly do all the time?
Yep.
You know, on short yards. They know it's coming.
Yep.
They run the push-push or whatever you want to call
push.
It. Tush-push.
They execute it.
Now, if you go back and you look at the play that they had lined up for when the timeout was, mm-hmm. Henry wasn't in there.
Right. And it looks like they probably were going to go the other way or something. I think
no,
Tomlin
looked like
said
they were. It looked like that they were going to, I mean, it looked like it was going to be like a ISO off tackle with Lamar running. That's what it looked like. Some people said it looked like a jump pass. The only thing I would say is Flele was downfield, so it didn't look like that.
I don't think that.
So, and on your other, earlier in the game, the touchdown run, you gave it to Henry and he, you know, went on in. And earlier in the game, I'll show it to you, Cordell, they had another situation where Aguilar's in there on the short. It seemed like when they had the receiver in there real tight, you know, I think that, like, defensively called bastard position, I think, they were coming all the time. That end,
If Aguilar was there, he was coming, mm-hmm. and he couldn't block him. And then that was when they ran the sweep to Henry, and he lost mm-hmm. with 3 or 4 yards. I didn't think from my film watching, and I don't watch as much as all those guys do, I thought you could run north-south. I thought running wide is difficult.
Too fast.
Yeah. So anytime they ran wide, I go, why? And they were making yards up inside.
410-583-1057 is the number. How are you feeling about Justin Tucker this week? Where is your concern level? How are you feeling about these Ravens coming off that tough division loss to Pittsburgh, now going out to L.A. to take on the Chargers in the Harbaugh Bowl? Will they bounce back against a hot Chargers team right now? 410-583-1057. We're taking your calls next here on The Fan.
Every game, every interview, every take, 1057, the voice of the fan. Die.
Vinny and Haney back on 1057, the fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw behind the glass. Got a couple of Vinny's film breakdowns to get to later on in the segment, later on in the show, as we're looking at the Los Angeles Chargers big game on Monday night in L.A. Right now, we're taking your calls, 410-583-1057. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, you're on the fan.
Good morning, Mr. C. Hello, Vincenzo.
What's up?
Listening to you guys, you said everything that I was going to say, but you took longer than me. I'd had to speed it up, but about that discipline. But I'm gonna just go with, hey, quick draw. Feature artist Friday, a person I don't think I've ever heard on there is Marvin Gaye. So remember that, YouTube Cordell. But anyway, I'm thinking about a bowler. You know, you guys bowl. You don't take the ball and roll it at the pins. You look at the markings on the floor because your arm, it has to, you know, keep that same motion every time. So basically, you're looking for that mark on the floor and your placement. And when Tucker said, like you said, Vinny, well, I look for a different point to kick it to. Why didn't you do it the second time? I think he really has to maybe, this is just my guess, face the reality that it's not just all in your leg anymore. Because, you know, he had the best leg ever. And he could just move, control his legs. See, I guess sort of like a batter swings. I mean, when you're playing baseball, the bat goes up and down. You try to follow the pitch. So I'm thinking that, you know, maybe he'll start focusing on kicking the ball in a certain direction, knowing that the way his leg is kicking it, that it's going to hook back to the left. That's all I got to say, y'all, because y'all basically said everything. But thanks for saying the things that I think that are true, too. But the discipline starts from the coach on down. Take it easy, fellas.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Joe. And everything he said about Tucker, yeah, I mean, I'm right there. It probably is more mental now. And that's why I wanted to figure out, like, how is he viewing this? Because he could take the, not saying that that's what he's doing or it would be excused, but we've seen a lot of these guys who have been at the top of the league in their profession and, you know, they get into a slump and just brush it off like it's nothing. I mean, that could be how he's approaching it. Obviously, he's not, but to have to accept that you're not playing at the level that you're accustomed to, I think that's a huge step for somebody like Tucker who has been so dominant for so long.
I mean, Cordell, when he walks out there Monday night and he's kicking and it's on the road, he's been missing home or road. I just think it's, you know, kicking on practice.
Yeah, if you miss no one, stress to that.
Right, yeah. So how do you get to that stress level that he has during the games? And I'm guessing in warmups you're picking your spots and mm-hmm. stuff. And I'm guessing when he goes out there for his first kick, Cordell, that in warmups he probably drills them because he's totally relaxed, and then he hits it to, you know, then it goes left. All right. So then, I mean, if I'm golfing, and I'm not a pro, I'm not even a great golfer, you know, but if I hit it left, I'm going to kind of turn a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. to try to correct that mentally.
Right.
And if I'm him and I'm on the left hash, I'm aim a little bit more to the right. I to me, it's easy, but I guess it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't kick it. I tried to do the kicking. I went to the NFL draft a few years ago. The first one that they did that was outside in Philly.
Yeah.
And they had the kicking station. out there. The ball barely got off the ground.
So what you're saying is, like, if college game day, if you were kicking that 30 for $200,000,
I would be a candidate for one of the worst kicks that they've ever seen.
$200,000
with all that money on the line.
Woodland, come on, baby!
I would be so upset with myself too. Very upset. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up?
Hey, not much, man. Hey, Cordell, man. You know your commander's been on a little losing streak.
Don't
man.
Worry. That's why the Cowboys are on the schedule. Just in time. Yeah. Just in time.
That's a robbery game. Robbery game, man. So we're going to be up to play y'all, man.
Puffy used
to
pants be. Game yeah. is what it is.
You think so, man. But, you know, I think Cooper Rush is finally figuring it out, though, man. So
What did he figure out? That he can't play?
He's playing for that contract. He had 354 yards passing.
Yeah, okay.
You know, last week. So, I mean, we're going to figure some things out, man. We sneak into that seventh seed, man, win a couple games. And, hey, I don't think nobody wants to see the Cowboys in the playoffs, man.
Right. Especially Cowboy fans.
Right.
Yeah. But listen, man, I ain't calling to talk about the Cowboys, though, man. Let's talk about another organization, man, the Ravens, man, with this John Harbaugh stuff, man. Like, do you think there's anything to do with it? Like, because I was looking at all the kickers, man, like Gary Anderson, Morton Anderson, Adam Vinatieri, and all them guys. They played for like 24, 25 seasons, man. Like, you know, and they were still productive.
Yeah.
And
I was with Gary Anderson in San Fran. And, you know what? The thing with Gary, as he got older, he was still accurate as hell, but he didn't have the distance.
Oh, he didn't have the distance.
No.
Mm. I mean, even Vinatieri was a journeyman towards the back end of his career.
With the Colt. When he went to the Colt. So, well, he was smart going indoors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that because Tucker even mentioned that about playing outside.
Yeah, it's just like, all they do is kick. What do you do all day in practice? He don't run, you don't jog. No tackling drills. Your job is to kick, 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 and kick, man. Maybe Harbaugh needs to spend more time with Tucker trying to motivate him, you know, be the leader. If you're a leader of men or something like that, man, instead of doing whatever he do at practice.
They're there. I mean, you've been out there. Cordell, you're out there. OTAs, mini camp, training camp. They're on that other field, and they're working their ass off. I mean, they got two coaches with them, and they got the three specialists. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe, you know, like, at the end of the season, like I said, I ain't putting it. Well, I am trying to put it on Harbaugh. I want Harbaugh gone. So, man, maybe a change of scenery next year with a new coach, you know, at the end of the season, man.
That ain't happening.
I like Tucker,
they're,
man.
They're
like,
going to win.
You don't think it's happening?
No, they're going to win some games. But Shoddy doesn't do that.
I know, but.
And Harbs doesn't deserve it.
Listen, what happened back when Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys? What was the first thing he did?
Well, the Cowboys sucked.
He made a mistake.
He got rid of Tom Landry, and guess what happened? He won three Super Bowls as soon as he got rid of Tom Landry, you know? Made a big trade.
I was talking about...
They got rid of the owner, too.
Who? The Cowboys?
Yeah, when Jerry bought them.
Well, he bought the team, so of course he was the owner, and he got rid of the coach, even though he was a legendary coach. But
he brought in Jimmy and let him do everything.
Yeah, you know, and Jimmy made that big trade for Herschel Walker. I mean, traded Herschel Walker, and we got all them draft picks, and that, you know, that was the beginning of the Marcus team right there. You know, so, but I don't know how we got back on the Cowboys, but it was all about that wasn't back on the Cowboys somehow, some way, man. But that's all I'm saying, though. I think at the end of the season, John Harbaugh and Mike McCarthy will be both looking for jobs. So, and you know, Harbaugh
I'll make a bet with you. I think McCarthy's gone.
He's definitely gone. I mean, I think his coaching career is over. Nobody's going to hire him, especially as a head coach. He can be some type of maybe assistant coach. But even then, who would want him as your assistant coach? Like, he sucks, you know, calling the plays. But, you know, we shall see. But, all right, y'all have a good one, though. I got to get back to work.
All right, Rashawn. We'll talk to you. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we got if you want to get on, 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll continue to take your calls. We'll also look at this Ravens defense that has been a big problem for the Ravens this year. Wasn't a problem for them on Sunday against Pittsburgh. Will they be able to carry that momentum into LA? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
Sports with balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw behind the glass on this Total Request Thursday. Sending your favorite songs to the text line. Quick draw. He'll play them for you. Also sending your votes for Featured Artist Friday. We already have one vote for Marvin Gaye on a call. So, yeah, if you like Marvin Gaye, go ahead and send that in as well and push those numbers up. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by Childs Walker, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. Gets Childs' thoughts on this defense that improved on Sunday, his thoughts on the penalties, Justin Tucker, a lot to get into involving the Ravens. We'll call an audible. We'll push the defensive segment back a little bit because the phone lines are jumping. Want to get to you guys. Let's go to Chris and Arnold. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Hey, I was going to touch on Justin Tucker, but man, I got to touch on Harbs, the last one. When people calling for him to get fired are crazy. The players got to execute, and we wouldn't be talking about Harbs doing a bad job coaching. Lamar has to be a dynamic runner again. He can't run backwards dynamically. He's got to go forward. Like, there's a lot of times he just makes bad passes when he's running backwards now, and it's just him running forward will help Henry out get back on track. It's just a lot of things went wrong in the Steelers game. It's not just Tucker, but from what I've seen in the game when I'm there at the Redskins game, all game long, Stout and the long snapper worked on the hold and the snap. I am not sure if it's 50% in Tucker's head and 50%, oh, are the snapper and the holder going to mess up the snap? So it's like there's a little bit of variables with the Tucker situation, but him drilling the 54-yard field goal down the middle, I hope that's a good sign and he gets it back together, because Boswell had a down year, and now he's one of the best kickers in the NFL again. Mm-hmm. So let's hope we get back to that Tucker. I mean,
you know, it'd be interesting to find out about Boswell if they changed, you know, if it was the same snapper and holder when he had his struggles and what he's doing now. I may have to ask, I'll ask Danny Smith that, their special teams coach.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but like from the Stout, he's not getting the ball down. Like some of them are like lopsided. It's like how
the first one I thought was a bad snap, and I thought Stout did a good job getting it down because the ball was low.
Yeah, it's just 50-50. It's like 50% is it going to be a bad snap? 50% is Stout going to get the ball down for Tucker? It's just I feel like there's a lot of stuff that shouldn't be happening that's happening, but I don't know. The Ravens just have to clean it up, and then the penalties with the linemen down the field, I think the NFL is making that a point of emphasis, because there was a few other games later on in the same last week where they were calling players downfield, and they usually weren't calling those penalties last year. I think it's just Goodell's made new points.
I think it's on whatever crew you get, because in that game, they didn't call nothing down the field. I mean, how the one to likely could have easily been a P.I., and there was a lot of grabbing and holding the field that they let go.
Yeah, when I saw the flag and it ended up being on the Ravens for illegal man down the field, like Aguilar was about to get tackled before the ball even got there, and I'm amazed he even made the catch, and then there was like illegal man down the field. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, what did the referee see? Like, I know like the Steelers always get preferred treatment, because it's always seen that way, but it's like, it's just, I don't know, the referees have been so bad this year and inconsistent. It's just, it makes it hard to watch the NFL sometimes, because you got to play the team and the referees, and it shouldn't be that way.
Well, a lot of the penalties that Ravens got, by the letter of the law, they were penalties.
Yeah, I mean, the illegal man down the field, when I think with the evolution of RPOs, has forced that penalty to be called a lot. I think it's one of the more frustrating penalties, because a lot of times the guy isn't even doing anything. He just has gone
like,
too
like the
far,
one they called,
even on the Aguilar.
They were on the other side of the field. Like, it was like, come on.
If it's not impacting the play, I don't feel like the flag should be thrown. But I get it.
But
to the letter
linemen,
of the law.
I want to say on the RPOs, they've got a count. Mm-hmm. You know, 1,001, 1,002, 1,000 go. You know, and then if Lamar's double clutching or he's scrambling, then that screws it all up.
The screen one, like, and Harbs even said that threw off the time, and that is what it is.
That was a double pump.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Let's try to squeeze one more in. Let's go to CJ in Baltimore. CJ, you're on the Fan.
Yes, good morning, guys.
Good morning
to you guys. Hey, good show, guys. Hey, Vinny, this is a first time caller, CJ.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes. Draw in the back. Good job. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the fans who calling about firing the coach, man. They got to be a little patient. They got to be careful what they ask for, because we got a winning team in Baltimore, man. And it have other other cities would wish for a coach. All right. The talent we have, they got to work on their craft a little better. You know, concentrate on what they're doing and stop making these fundamental mistakes and having the coach to get paid. So I'm against firing coaches because players is bad players or bad players is make coaches get fired. And one or two things he could have done better for real, but firing the coach is not the answer. And be careful what you ask for, fans. Firing the coach is not the answer.
All right, yeah, thank you. Thanks for the call, CJ. Yeah, I mean, I'm not there on firing Harbs yet. I will say, I'm curious how this season ends and how that impacts whatever going forward. I think it'll take something drastic for Harbs to not be the coach next year. But if when you reach the AFC Championship game last year and somehow take a step or two back this year, let's say that they are a wild card team, which as of right now they are, and they don't win that game, definitely will be conversations had going into next year to where I think next year could be a pivotal year for Harbs indeed if it goes that route.
I thought the decision that I wasn't crazy about up to this point, but I mean, he's 7-4. And in reality, they've been better than every team they play. They were better than Pittsburgh. They beat themselves. Mm-hmm. 12 penalties, 3 turnovers, and you still have a chance to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've been better than the biggest thing I have is you're in the AFC Championship game. You were the first seed. All right. You lose coaches. Why do you bring in a rookie? Because you got a team that's ready to go to the Super Bowl. I think that was the biggest, like, Zach Orr, really? You know, I mean, that's a huge gamble. And then after 5 games, mm-hmm. you know, you're bringing in help.
Right.
So, I mean, you're kind of admitting that he wasn't ready.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Chiles Walker, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. We'll get his thoughts on the Ravens' loss to Pittsburgh. How do they move on to the Chargers? Can Justin Tucker figure this thing out? All that and more next here on The Fan.